All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at Bellator 291, and that all goes down on February the 25th. It is a featherweight fight, and it is set for the co-main event. We have Pedro Carvalho and Jeremy Kennedy getting out there to test skills, and always good getting Jeremy on the show to talk about these big fights. How's your day going there, man?
Good, man. Yeah, another day in camp. I'm kind of real deep in now, so it's busy and hectic, and I'm starving, but it'll all be worth it soon. It's nice to finally be February 1st, so the countdown's kind of really actually begun now, and I leave in a couple weeks. So I got 17 days, and then I fly out, so I can't wait, man.
Yeah, I love how excited you are, and I think normally when you talk about the kind of work you're getting in, I would normally just defer to thinking you're working at Extreme Couture, but I was seeing a couple months ago you were getting in that work at Bang Tao Muay Thai as well and everything like that. Like, where were you at mostly in this camp, you would say? Like, were you splitting time between, like, those two spaces, or?
Yeah, no, like, I took the trip out to Thailand. I had a book shortly after that last fight, just so, it's kind of like the only place I love to travel, and me and my wife love to travel, so Thailand is kind of the place where I can travel, but I can still work. You know, I can still get the training in. I get stir crazy if I go out to somewhere else and we're backpacking for a few weeks or whatever, and I'm out of my routine. So, and I have a good long relationship with the Hickman brothers. So when they opened up their new spot in Bang Tao there, so I figured I'd go take a look there and just a vacation, but like a training vacation, I guess you would call it. And a pre-camp, because I knew about the fight already flying out there. So just having the fight on my mind was nice to be in that kind of environment. But it was still like 3 months out, so I wasn't going too crazy in camp. And then it just got me in good shape, made me, you know, make smarter choices eating-wise. And then flew home and dialed right into camp here in Vegas. And this is home. This is my base.
Yeah, for sure, and I would think that you're especially happy about this particular fight just because that was one that you seemed to, like, pretty squarely, you know, kind of put in your crosshairs there. Like, it seemed like you really put that out there into the world as, like, the, you know, next fight you were looking to get. Like, when did you kind of, you know, get the bout offer for this one? And I imagine you were feeling pretty good about that, but can you describe the, you know, feeling of kind of, like, putting that call out there and then, you know, getting the bout agreement locked in?
Yeah, and it was pretty rare that you usually get the call-outs that you get. You know, I got the call-out, I got the opponent, and then I got the location and the date and everything. So it was perfect. There's a little bit more just because it was a strategic call-out. You know, I knew that it was an actual good part for the division. It was the fight that made sense. You know, it clear-cut the next title contender. The timeline worked out well. We had both just fought, both in the top five. Only two in the top five coming off of a win. And there was history between with Pedro and I. You know, we've been going back and forth for a few years. So it was just, it all lined up perfectly. So I knew that that was kind of, once I made the call out, and I even saw Kogan in the back after the fight and put it in his ear again. And he liked it. He kind of giggled. And he said, yeah, you know, I kind of like that fight. So I had a good idea that it was going to happen. But still, you know, Ali, my manager, he was saying that it was a good shot of happening. And I was actually about to fly out. I think it was like 4 days out before I was flying to Thailand that I got the call. And that was the fight that they were going to make. So it was just kind of cool to have that right before I left, you know.
Yeah, probably gave you a certain, I don't know, maybe like peace of mind maybe isn't the exact right way to phrase it, but it sounded like you were heading into something that resembled like a vacation, but also with like a level of routine and training infused into it. I would feel like there'd be like a calm kind of like, you know, comfortable temperament through all that, just knowing that you have your, you know, next gig locked in, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that it was just something that it was nice to have. You know, going out that way and having that all scheduled and then having the call and knowing I have a fight, I have a date, there's a next one coming, you know, I'm X amount of weeks out. It was just easy to help dial everything in. So, and like you had mentioned, it's the exact fight I wanted, you know, so I was definitely happy with it.
Yeah, and that sense of upward mobility very much there, just with you being ranked number five and your opponent being in the number three spot. So I would think that would also be an enticing part, just climbing the hierarchy even more so.
Yeah, and this seems like it's been a story of my Bellator career. You know, I've been fighting guys ranked way higher than me. But this one's the gap's a little less. You know, when I fought Sanchez, I think I was 8 and he was 4. And then Borix, I was 7 and he was 1 or 2. And Pico, again, I was 7 and he was 4. So I've been fighting top 5 opponents. And now I think this is the one that's going to put me in that ranking. You know, I beat Pedro. Yeah, you eat what you kill. And I become 3, and the only people above me is a lightweight and Boris, who's injured. So I think that lines up a title fight pretty easily for me.
Yeah, and I feel like timing is everything as well. Like, I mean, you talk about Boris being injured, but also the fact that he was, you know, in pretty close proximity to like a Pitbull title fight not that long ago, and then AJ McKee being number 2, who's going to be in that lightweight Grand Prix. I mean, obviously he has to win the fights, but presumably could get locked into, you know, another division for a little while.
Yeah, foreseeable future. The only thing that would maybe change things up is Pitbull wanting to go down. But then again, even there, you know, that whole division's got a lot to work out with the Grand Prix, and then Sergio being back, but he's got, you know, Patchy and Stotts on the line. So timing and landscape all matters, and I can't control any of that. I just know at 145, after I beat Pete Pedro, I'm the guy, you know, so I can't control much else. And I've been told this is a number one contender fight numerous times. It makes sense, and I got to get my job done. I got to get through Pedro, and he's all my focus. So, because all the rest of it, the title fight and everything, it's just noise, you know, until... It's an extra motivation, but it's just noise until I actually get this win that I'm going to get.
Yeah, I guess you got to put him in the chicken wing before, like you were kind of talking about, eh? That was funny. Was that like a little homage to like Bob Backlund, like a little pro wrestling or something like that? Or like where was that coming from?
Yeah, just, you know, big brother him a little bit here. Now I'm going to have to go out there and put him in the chicken wing, so...
No, I love that. That's a fire up, a true classic maneuver from back in the day. But I mean, a lot of fun facets of this fight for sure. But I did also want to, you know, touch on the last one briefly too. I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't, just in beating another, you know, top ranked featherweight contender. And I know you had the post saying not necessarily the way you wanted to win, but I mean, at the same time, I felt like it was a good, you know, well-rounded performance up until then, and thought it was classy that you wished Aaron Pico like a speedy recovery as well. Like, what were your main takeaways from
it, and it wasn't the way I wanted to win, you know. I wanted to get the finish properly, you know, and I feel I was en route. The fight went well for me, you know. I got to show how dominant my game is, and it's just unfortunate that the injury did happen. But I mean, that happens in this sport, you know. A few weeks later, I think even in the same month, you know, Aljo and TJ, the exact same shoulder, exact same situation happened. You know, and it's just one of those things that was uncontrollable. I showed up, I was ready, I was game. I brought the fight to him. And it just, it was unfortunate that he got hurt. You know, I don't want to see that. He had surgery. I know, I'm pretty sure he had to have surgery and extensive. It looked pretty bad with just how it was dealt with in cage. You know, it made me cringe watching the replays of him just yanking on that arm. So, it's just unfortunate, you know. I don't wish that on anybody, you know, and I'm glad he seems like he's back and he's ready to get booked. He's cleared to fight, so I'm glad that he's back in the mix and he's healthy and all's good. And I'm just looking onward and upwards now, you know. It was a big fight for me. It got me prepared, you know, a lot of good media and a lot of eyes on that fight, and it got me set up perfectly for this next fight. And your next fight's always the biggest, so that's why I can't look at that one as my biggest fight. You know, this next one is even bigger now, and then the one after that's going to be even bigger, you know. So I'm just, once it's done and the fight's over, I'm kind of, they're not even on my mind anymore. You know, I'm just like after this last fight with Pico, as soon as I was in the back, I was instantly thinking about Pedro, you know, and now this next one, as soon as I get done with Pedro and I'm in the back, I'm going to be thinking about Pitbull, you know, so I'm just always looking up. And I signed with Bellator with the thought to that title, and this is just the next step, you know, this is my route to the title, and I'm not leaving no stone unturned. I'm putting in the absolute best camps. I'm investing everything I have. This last camp and the Pico camp were my two ones that I kind of like really invested in, just looked at it as a return, you know, spending way more money than I ever would on training camps and recovery and therapy and everything. So I'm just dialed right in, man, and I can't wait. Even talking to you, I get more excited about it.
Yeah, no, you're getting me fired up too. I'm looking forward to this fight, but even, you know, more so as we're talking about it. And I think an intriguing facet of this fight is just kind of, you know, where it's at. And that kind of strikes me as like something that would even embolden what already sounds like, you know, a tremendous amount of motivation you have there. Like just with him being like an SBG Ireland guy and, you know, getting the partisan reaction the night of, like, does that kind of like embolden a little something extra in like your already strong drive just being the away guy in Ireland kind of thing?
Yeah, that excites me too, but that's also been a bit of part of my career, you know. Prior to COVID, my last few fights have all been domestic in the US, but prior to that, you know, I was all over the place fighting guys in their hometowns, you know, from Volkanovski in Australia to Honey Jason in Brazil and down in Fortaleza there. Bochniak in New York, like he's a Boston guy, like just, and I was Canadian at the, you know, well, at the time I was training, living, whatever in Canada. So I've just been traveling to other people's countries. I fought, you know, under the Brave banner. I was fighting Murat in Saudi Arabia, which is a very Muslim based country. And around Christmas time, like just out of my element and out of my comfort zone. So I'm used to that. And Ireland now fighting an SBG guy in Dublin, Ireland, it just makes sense. It's fitting that I'm heading out there and doing this again, you know, so I'm excited for it. And I can't wait for that Dublin crowd. Every time Bellator's gone and I've watched the shows, I just like, man, I gotta get out there and fight. You know, it's up there with Japan, you know, it's one of those crowds that you have to experience before it's all said and done. So I'm excited that I get this opportunity.
Yeah, it's cool that you brought up Japan. It seemed like you were very much locked into like what was going on with the cross-promotional efforts recently between Bellator and Ryzen, as many people were. I know I was certainly excited to see all of that, and I was seeing you retweeting certain things. Like, I think Bruno Masami was talking about how he wanted to see you in, you know, that kind of situation as well. Like, how much of an express goal is it for you to, you know, compete under those Ryzen rules in Japan eventually?
That's why I was so invested. You know, I was just more so jealous. That's what I want, you know, and I love that. You know, fighting's one thing, but the experience when it's all said and done and you look back at your career and the road you took and the places you fought, and like MMA has brought me all over the world, you know, and so I just think, and Japan is like the birthplace, you know, it's the place that, you know, back in the Pride days, like I grew up, and that's where I started watching the sport. So to be able to fight there under those rules, I was just like super eager, you know, and I have this fight. I already had this fight booked at the time, so who knows? You know, it looks like that's going to be a lasting relationship. So maybe down the line, I could. And again, I've said this that I'm like a nerd or a fan of the featherweight division, especially, you know. And when I saw that Pitbull was fighting Clever, I was like, man, that's a really cool fight, just because I followed him all along, like. Back in Rebel FC, I was living in Thailand, and I was trying to fight. Miguel Torres was out in Rebel FC, and Clever was out there smitting guys, and he was been on my radar, and he was in Pancras, and so it was just very cool to see, like, two worlds collide, you know, our champion going over there and fighting their champion was, to me, the most intriguing matchup, and it being my weight class is even better. And, you know, so I'm hoping down the line I could even get an opportunity to go out there and fight and represent Bellator. But we'll see, you know, who knows what that relationship does and how that happens and what happens down there, down the line.
Yeah, that could be very interesting. And kind of like what we were talking about before, one of the few promotions you seemingly haven't fought for. So could, you know, suffice to, you know, check another one off the list, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I can, and yeah, exactly, get the Asian side out of all the organizations. Then I can finish the trio. I guess not even trio. I guess one championship would be the top four, and that would be the last one. But Bellator is my home now, and I'm done traveling around different promotions. You know, I'm settling in. I think I've got the best division. I think the Bellator featherweight division is the top division they have, and with the most depth. And yeah, I just love where I'm at. And this, I've spent 2 years climbing these ranks, and this is my home now.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're not gonna, you know, survey the landscape and try to get in an open weight tournament or anything like that, eh?
Yeah. No, yeah, none of that.
That was still one of like the funnier kind of stories that I saw pop up. It was funny when we talked about that like a few chats ago there. Yeah, crazy stuff.
Any of that, like that was, I forgot about that too. That's funny.
but you mentioned Volkanovski earlier, and I feel like there's very few people out there, if any, that would have this kind of, you know, localized insight, just like how much work you've historically gotten in with Islam Makhachev, like in Vegas. You were talking about how much of a monster he was, and obviously you fought Alexander Volkanovski. Like, what are your thoughts on this upcoming Makhachev versus Volkanovski fight?
Man, that's a very cool fight. It's mostly stylistically wise. Like, you look on paper and you would just have to assume Islam wins that fight, you know? He's got him outsized. Volk's not the biggest 45er, and he's coming up to 55. But it's also that size of Volk, him being that very short, dense, stocky kind of guy, that's a hard style, like body type, for Islam to hold down and be on the ground like that, take down in general. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I do, honestly, though, if I have to give my honest opinion, I do think the weight is going to be a bit too much, and I think that is going to be the deciding factor. It's just Islam is not a small 155er. He's on the bigger end of that, and Volk's, you know, not the biggest featherweight either. Like, frame-wise, he's probably middle of the pack of having to cut weight, you know, in that sense of a big 45er. So I think the smaller 45er is going up to fight the bigger 55er, which is when you're both world class, both of them, their records are, you know, incredible, big long win streaks. The size does matter when you get to that tit for tat for technique and skill. You know, the size will come into play, and I think that is going to be the difference maker. Still incredible for Volk even going up, you know, fighting a guy like Makhachev and risking all those titles that he has, legacy and defenses and win streaks and all that combined. You know, you got to give props to a guy for wanting to get out of his element and fight the champ in a weight class above you, you know. So, but then also, if you were to go back and do some statistics on the champ versus champ fights, from what I can remember off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure always the lighter fighter has seemed to be winning. If you were to go back to DC and Stipe, Amanda and Cyborg, even TJ and Cejudo.
True, yeah.
Connor and Eddie. So there is that little statistic of, like, maybe that the smaller guy does win, you know? So we'll see how that plays out, but I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
That is a good point. Like, I feel like the last time in a champ versus champ fight, we saw the bigger guy win, or at least one of the last times that can, you know, pop up in my head. I feel like probably when GSP beat BJ Penn. But outside of that, yeah, I feel like more often than not, yeah, I feel like the smaller champion does kind of get the jump. So, kind of interesting.
Even then, you got GSP coming back at 185, and he beat Bisping. So, I think off the top of my head, has been, for the most part, the fighter from the lighter weight class has been winning these super fights.
Yeah, for sure. And then,
but it's just something to think about.
Yeah, no, I mean, a very good point. I had not even necessarily, like, thought of it in the context of this fight, but when you brought it up, it's like, yeah, that does tend to happen more often than not. But, you know, talking about GSP and some, you know, great things in Canada and stuff like that, like, this next, you know, statement isn't even a question. Just thought it was cool that you know, retweeted JHK, and he was saying, like, there should be, like, Bellator Vancouver going on for the belt and stuff like that. And he was saying like 2014 was the last time like Bellator kind of came through. I mean, kind of curious, like you feel like there's so many great talents on the roster. Like, I mean, Aaron Jeffrey, Josh Hill, Mandel Nalo, you could really go on. Like, I mean, why do you think they haven't done a show out there in a little bit? I feel like that would, you know, draw a lot of attention and, you know, get people fired up. Like, it's kind of closing in on a decade.
Yeah, I'm not too sure, honestly. It's because it does seem a little weird. They seem to be investing in the Canadian market, and but not doing any shows here. I mean, it could be. I know COVID was, it was pretty hard to travel into Canada, and that's why UFC took their hiatus as well. So that could be a factor. I'm not honestly not sure. I feel like, you know, maybe they need some little bit more star power, you know. So if I can get this win and get this title shot and bring something for them to bring to Canada, you know, and we can, because you can fill a whole Bellator card with Canadian talent. You know, they have it on their roster. Aaron Jeffrey had that big win too. You know, he's fighting up in ranks. You know, if he can put a few more together as well. So it's just kind of on us to make sure that we can do that, you know, and get out there and make Bellator want to come to Canada, I guess you should say. I mean, and who knows? You know, I think Vancouver would do well. Toronto would do well. But, yeah, that's for the higher-ups.
Yeah, got to talk to Scott Coker about all that, yeah.
Give him a call and give him a piece of my mind.
I'm going to DM you, Scott Coker. That's going to be my next question at one of the press events, maybe. But, no, I mean, maybe you can get the first one for the title fight. Maybe.
And I feel like he hasn't had to answer the question of that, of the honest reasoning of why they had not. So I think that is on the media, too. They need to ask him, why is he not coming to Canada?
I feel like I've asked Coker that a couple times, and he kind of has a reaction where he doesn't, like, it's not like he's rolling his eyes per se, but it's one of those things where he's like, oh, you know, we're looking at it. It's almost like he would rather I talk about something that's on like the immediate itinerary, which is also fair, but it's good to, you know, look off in the distance and get excited about things potentially. But yeah, I'll have to keep getting on him about that.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, man, it's always good talking to you. I feel like I've taken up a good amount of your time. It's always fun getting a variety of insights from you though, and just, you know, kind of wondering if, like, maybe there's any parting thought you might want to add as we're sort of just wrapping up here, though, man.
Oh, yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you reaching out, and I like doing these interviews, man, so anytime, let me know.
Awesome. Well, yeah, mutual enjoyment on my end for sure, and this next one's going to be great. Looking forward to February 25th, and a lot of, you know, high stakes at Bellator 291 relevant to the featherweight title picture going ahead, I think. So to reiterate, thanks for coming on and giving insights ahead of this big fight coming up, man. And you have a good rest of your day too, Jeremy.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.